This is The Last Word on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Brandon Leopold and John Williams.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have a very, very special guest out with us tonight. Certainly, we are extremely honored to have her on. I normally don't say that, but given the state of things that have been going on recently, Nicole Auerbach, for those of you who don't know, was the first one to drop the information, if you will, that the possibility of Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio retiring. And she joins us now here on The Last Word on Sports on SB Nation Radio. Nicole, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day. We understand it's been really crazy for the past couple of days, but thanks for taking the time to hop on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
So Nicole, we'll dive right into it here. I got a three-part question for you. The question that's obviously on everybody's mind, first of all, given the scope of guys like Tom Izzo, Mark D'Antonio, the models of success, two beloved coaches here in the state of Michigan, behind only Bo Schembechler and Scotty Bowman. When you take all that into effect, the first part is on everybody's mind is this question or is this story true? Number one. Number two, the second part of this is if it is true, take us through it. From the timeline of the Larry Nassar sentencing on Tuesday to the Outside the Lines report on Friday, where does your story kind of fall into all this on the timeline? And the third part about all this is, was there one source, multiple sources? How did you get this information to make all this come together?
Yeah, well, my story focuses more on, you know, what the NCAA and Mark Emmert were aware of or alerted to with Michigan State. And, you know, obviously that part of the timeline was prompted by the victim sentencing, the victim impact statements this past week. And late Tuesday night, the NCAA confirmed that they're opening an investigation in Michigan State. You know, and I think the response from a lot of people is wondering, in light of what happened at Penn State, whether the NCAA can get involved here. Do they have a jurisdiction? What would they be looking for? And then, you know, what, because they had to rein back some of their penalties with Penn State, you know, what really could they do here? And what would they be able to do without having to pull anything back? And so, you know, I think people were also wondering, you know, what took so long? Was it the fact that it was, you know, very hard to watch all of these victims line up and talk about what Larry Nassar did over a period of decades and the access he had to athletes at Michigan State? And, you know, I reached out to Kathy Redman, who's the founder of the National Coalition Against Violent Athletes, and she's involved with victims and survivors all over the country, but particularly at college campuses. And she told me that she had met with Mark Emmert in Indianapolis in 2010 and alerted him that there was an alarming amount of reports of sexual assault from, you know, MSU athletes. Then in the past 2 years, she said there were 37 at that time. This is right after Keith Appling and Adrian Payne, which obviously there were a lot more. We knew some of those details, but there was more in the Outside Lines report that came out on Friday. And then, so she kind of was reaching out because she's an advocate to change policies, for sexual assault, sexual violence. And so she thought that, you know, this new NCAA president who had said that he wanted to tackle this issue would be receptive to that. And then she found out, she, you know, had conversations about policy changes that didn't really go anywhere, and also sent a letter kind of reinforcing what she wanted to do and also her concerns about Michigan State and Luana K. Simon. And all of this conversation, this letter, this was all in 2010, and you could just kind of think about, you know, what would it have looked like if the NCAA or, you know, at least had pushed Michigan State, if investigations could have stopped what has happened since 2010, that would have been great. That would have saved a lot of victims and survivors. And, you know, so it's just been, you know, it's another piece to this puzzle, which is a lot of inaction. And we've seen that on every level at Michigan State, in the athletic department, in the president's office. You've seen that at USA Gymnastics, the USOC, and now we're seeing it with the NCAA. And it doesn't even matter how much of any of this is malicious. but it just matters that there was no action made and that people were still hurt after these decisions to do nothing were made.
Nicole, in your article last night, you did detail, of course, Mark Emmert, his involvement, the fact that, as you alluded to, 37 incidents going back to 2010 were documented, and he was aware of them, and they weren't reported on. What's next for Mark Emmert in regards to the investigation and the NCAA, as you alluded to, with in regards to the jurisdiction? What can be done here? And again, I think one of the most poignant questions is, what took so long for them to act, going all the way back to 2010, if that is indeed the case? What took so long in between those two periods?
Well, I think that those are going to be questions that, you know, we are going to be asking Mark Emmert. You know, he doesn't do a ton of kind of scheduled media stuff throughout the year, but he always does a big State of the Union kind of press conference at the Final Four. So at the very latest, you know, that's where people like to ask questions about the NCAA's mission, the reach, and how the status of investigations. And, you know, I think people are very curious to see kind of, especially in light of the Outside the Lines report and what Kathy told me, you know, the NCAA, when they announced they were going to launch an investigation, that was still earlier in a very eventful week where it was still basically Larry Nassar. And so, you know, is this going to expand into the entire athletic department? You would think so. Is this going to be couched as protecting, that they're going in here to look to make sure that their female student athletes are protected in this athletic department? Because obviously there were gymnasts who were seeing Larry Nassar at Michigan State. And so, you know, I think that that's one area they could go into. You could maybe look at, you know, benefits or gifts or something. I've seen, you know, kind of maybe allusions or occasional references to things like that. But it is really hard because the NCAA has kind of positioned itself as this moral authority in a lot of areas that really doesn't have strict jurisdiction to go into. And that's something that we saw at Penn State. It was just so morally abhorrent what was going on there that they felt that too and went in. And then they had to pull back on the penalties and the fine afterwards because they didn't really have, you know, the jurisdiction to go in. So I think that that's something they're aware of. And I think that they're going to have to answer questions about where exactly they are going to go in. But, you know, and I do think the reach of the investigation and things like that will make it interesting. But, you know, I do think cynical people would say, and I think that, you know, the way that it's unfolded, it looks like it really wasn't going to happen unless there was this incredible outrage over the victim impact statements. And unfortunately, it's taken them and these really brave women, over 150 of them, you know, who delivered these over 7 days to really enact actual change. I mean, I don't think without the awareness of their stories and the outrage that they prompted, I'm not sure we see a lot of the reactions and resignations and investigations that are opening this week, which is a really sad thing to say because a lot of that stuff we already knew, but it took them standing one by one and explaining it explicitly to everyone for action to happen. And so right now, you know, without having answers from the NCAA, it looks like they were one of these groups that responded to what we all saw that was really, you know, kind of heartbreaking to watch and very infuriating to watch. And they decided that that was going to prompt them to do something.
Well, Nicole, thank you so much. Obviously, without having all the facts right now, obviously, there's still not a lot legally that anybody could speak on. But, you know, at least you got us the groundwork, and at least you got us kind of the time frame of everything that's going on. We look forward to reading your article again. By the way, for those of you who haven't read her article on theathletic.com, please do so. It was a tremendous job. Nicole, thanks so much for laying the groundwork for us, and we'll certainly hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.